Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome, everybody, to On the Range podcast with Warhawk Tactical and Kelly Defense. Thank you for joining us today. How's it going today, Rick?
It's going good, buddy. How you doing?
Man, it's doing great on this Sunday, April 11th, 2021. I'm doing well, buddy. I just wanted to say thanks for joining me. It's going to be a good show. Hopefully, we have some good interaction. How's your Sunday going?
Yeah, it's going good. Weather out here is good, man. Hanging out with the family today, so always good.
Yeah, I didn't have weather wasn't cooperating too much with me, but hey, you know, what are you going to do? Hey, guys, if you're on Podbean Nation, thank you for joining us. Go ahead and interact with us. Go ahead and type us a message on the chat board. If you are listening on all the audio platforms like Apple, iHeart, Amazon, any of the Echoes like or the devices like Echo and Alexa, thank you for joining us. Make sure you comment and hit those subscribe and like buttons. You know, Rick, today I think is our 58th episode. And, wow. You know, this week is going to mark a milestone. This week will be the 1 year anniversary of us launching this show.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just when you look at it, it's pretty incredible from flash to bang, if you want to say, within a year, kind
right.
of where we've gotten this thing at, what we've done. And really what I'm hoping is, you know, for the listeners out there and obviously for our viewers on the YouTube side, you know, we're just a couple guys, right? What do we know as far as podcasts and what we know about anything? Nothing. You know, we had a snafu, for lack of better terms, and you know what? We worked through it. So I'd like to say, you know, do we have the perfect model? Nope, because we stumbled and, you know, kind of learned as we went, but let that be, you know, kind of an example for people. Hey, man, you're always not going to have the answers. Everything's not always going to be handed to you in a silver platter. I wish it was easy that somebody had the book, hey, Podcasting 101, but you know what? We kind of figured out as we went and just went from there. So, you know, we just try to keep the show getting better and better each time to now here we are, you know, with the ability to have people call in and, you know, see what's going on. So I think that's absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. And you know, it hasn't really been an easy road. There's been a lot of snafus. Heck, we've had terrible audio shows with just phone calls. We've gone from that to Zoom calls. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had electrical storms, wind storms with guests. And, mm-hmm. you know, I've had a power outage. The whole show went down. You guys ran with it. But, you know, it's been a really good journey. We're starting to get our hands in a lot of other things. You know, we yeah. have our own web pages. We have blogs. We have social media posts. We have groups. The more that we have to do when it comes to interacting with the fan base. I hate even using that word because I'm so humbled. I'd be happy with five listeners, but there's a lot of folks out there that tell us that they enjoy the show.
Yeah. And I mean, and I don't think fans are the right word. I think listeners, that's the right word, right?
Yeah. That's I like that much better. Yeah.
You know, it's all in the verbiage. So how, you know, it's thanking the listeners out there. And then obviously for those that are on the YouTube side, the viewers, they're the ones that make it all possible. I mean, they're the ones yeah. that give us the support. They're the ones that do the ratings, the comments, the reviews, you know, all the stuff that we need to drive this thing. And I mean, let's be an honest broker, you know, coming up on almost a year yep. and we're in the top 5% of all podcasts globally. And I don't say that to go, hey, look at us. I just go, you know, I say that to others to go, man, if you just put your mind to it, you can get it done.
Yeah. And it's a big thank you. Thank you guys for helping us reach that milestone.
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, it's those listeners out there that's listened to the episodes, that's sitting there, you know, taking their time, which if you guys haven't heard the, you know, the Jack Carr, I think Jack said something that resonated greatly with me, time. You know, people actually take the time, you know, in his case, it was to read his books, you know, to look at his post, do all that other stuff. I mean, the same thing. Thank you guys for taking the time to listen to our podcast. You know, thank you for taking the time to, I don't care if it's just a thumbs up emoji in the reviews, follow us, all that stuff. Time is the one resource we all have the same amount of, regardless how much money we've got. But it's the one resource. Once it's gone, you can never get it back. So, Hopefully you're kind of double dipping, maybe driving to work and listen to the podcast or however it is that you do it. Or maybe you take the time, because there's some that I sit down and I'm actually there with pen and paper because I want to pull that information they're giving and jot it down in my own notes so that I can, improve myself.
It's amazing that just learning more about podcasting in general, it's crazy, man. It's crazy how few podcasts make it past. I think the magic number was 7 episodes. There's like 800,000 active shows at any given point, I think, into last year. And many of them didn't last past 7. And then there was another milestone of 14 episodes. It was a median number. That meant that this huge number, tens of thousands of productions, only half of those would have more than 14 episodes. That's insane. And here we are at 58. The fact that we're at 58 episodes, before you know it, it's going to be 100. We're going to do something special for that. It's just huge for us. The support, the listener base, it's been phenomenal. They've been nothing but gracious and helping support us, passing out the word. It's getting more and more that, when we have interactions, even in our businesses, when we're doing our classes and interacting, pushing out other people's stuff, people have heard of the show. And that's not because of us. That's because of you guys, the listeners, and we cannot be more thankful. I think you and I both believe that we'd be in this position because I think we knew that we were going to put some effort into it. I didn't, nobody ever knows how much work it's going to be. However, I was just so surprised and thankful what the positive result that we got.
Yeah, and I think with that, it was us always learning as we go. And I mean, for the listener out there, if you take nothing else away, take this away. We could have very easily still been, with Anchor, our initial free platform, doing some shoddy audio quality, just trying to figure stuff out. But it was always, how do we take it to the next level? How do we increase things? How do we get guests? How do we do all that stuff? And it was figure as you go. And the thing is, I think it's important for people to understand, unfortunately, you can go out there and you can read books and you can do all this other stuff, and that's great. And that gives you kind of a template to work with and other things. However, nothing's cut and dry. You got to kind of, figure some things out as you go. Man, if you nail it out of the park, cool. How do you incrementally make, that home run a little better? So for us, just a couple guys starting talking on the phone, and really it was funny because I was with Pat Mack this actually on Friday, and some of the squad came in, talking with those guys, and I used the podcast as, kind of an example, for people. It's like, listen to our first episode. I'm sure, and I haven't, and shame on me because I haven't gone back and I need to listen to it just to hear what the audio quality was. But it's just, it's one of those, we were just talking on the phone. All right, let's just kind of BS and figure this thing out. And you figure within 9 shows, we ended up with, our first guest on there. We had it going video. Granted, we were doing Zoom stuff, but it was always looking to go, how can we get a little incrementally better? To now, hey, here we're sitting with a platform to potentially do live calling. So,
And another big piece of that for me was the amount of help when we reached out for just for some advice. Not really technical how to, but hey man, what was your attitude going into this? What were you thinking when you did this? And there's a lot of them. Pat Mack's one of them. Pat Mack and CJ Ortiz, I tell you what, they could not been any more helpful. Marcus Torgerson has always been very helpful with introductions and supporting. There's just, I know I'm forgetting a lot of people, buddy, but
No,
just a lot of people. Clint Hoover,
yeah,
what a great
but
supporter
here's
of the show.
100%. But I think you hit the key thing, and I got to get on, Mac and CJ, because let's think about it from, an average business perspective. People are going to say, well, these guys are in the same space you are. But here's the thing, man. Here's the beauty. When you have a good circle around you, they're not trying to suppress you. No, they're not trying to squelch you. Both Mac and CJ could have very easily said, get bet you two. I'm not telling you nothing. But no, they didn't, dude. It was, what can we do to help? Hey, try this. Hey, you know, doing this, doing that, whatever the case may be. It was truly an extension of them reaching out. And even CJ mentioned it because he brought up how, you know, one of our patrons went back to them and wanted to post something within the tier one squad. And CJ's like, yeah, man, these guys are family by all means. You know, for me, I don't take that lightly.
Oh, hell no.
When someone says, hey, they're part of your family, I got it. Yes, you have your blood family, but if you want to say your extended circle family, man, when you're in those circles and when you have supporters of that caliber that aren't afraid of you trying to come in and be some type of threat or whatever the case may be, dude, that's a great place to be. So, yeah. You know, super grateful for those two. You know, same thing with Mac in the firearm space, you know, reached out to him. Hey, just trying to get some different ideas how to better market, better stuff like that. And he could have very easily said, dude, I ain't telling you nothing.
Oh, absolutely. It's
like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, no, man, here you go and take it from there. So, no, two phenomenal gentlemen, two gentlemen that have been super supportive and, you know, to say the word simply, you know, super proud to have them in the family. That's an understatement.
Absolutely. So we got Will M, we got MK08, we got Jeremy W. And I want to say thank you. I believe that was Jeremy W. that approached CJ. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong, correct me, Jeremy, but thank you for being on, you know, being here in the show. But you're absolutely right. They were, and still are, someone that we can approach and like, they can come to us and ask us for anything that they need us to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I was happy about that because we've said it over and over and over that this, the circle of folks that we are actually negotiating through this crazy industry is a lot smaller than I really thought it was going to be. It's a lot smaller. I think a lot of it is, you know, from us, you know, sticking with it and these guys as well, CJ and Marcus and all these guys, they stick with it. They grind it out. You start to realize that there's not a whole lot of people out there doing it. It's amazing that this podcast and those stats are staggering when you start, you know, looking into them about how many people, it seems like everybody starts a podcast. And by the way, we talk about it all the time. We love them. I mean, in a lot of ways, this is the place where people go to get information now. And, yeah. You know, not to get, you know, it political and on the whole media stuff, but it's true. I can tell you right now for me, I go to certain podcasts when I'm looking for anything where I believe that I'm going to get good quality content, not just entertainment, but good quality content and information. So when you see these numbers and how many people, you know, just fade out, they call it pod fade or whatever is the term they use, but it's staggering. And I'm just proud to still be here, buddy.
No, 100%. But like you said, it all circles back to, you know, the listeners out there. They're the ones that all success is kind of given to them and greatly appreciated, you know, for all their support.
Big shout out to our patrons. We want to keep this content coming out. We want to keep the show going forward. We want to keep pushing out information about great people doing great stuff, great companies. And without these patrons, you know, we probably wouldn't be able to continue this forever. We just wouldn't be able to. And they are really supporting the show. We got John M. from the UK. We got John G., Dan M., Jeremy W., who's on the chat room right now. And we also have our latest patron, Brian A., who's been on the show. Great guy. Really appreciate those patrons doing the all access. And we're going to have to schedule a Zoom call here pretty soon. See if we can get as many folks on there as we can. That's a lot of fun. A lot of good feedback. I think Jeremy's asking if we're on YouTube right now. And that is, we were going to try it. It didn't pan out. And we'll go ahead and we'll try that next time. You know, pretty soon, I think what we're trying to do, Jeremy, and for all you who are wondering what type of things you can get on the Patreon page, these live shows that are live, they're audio only. And we push those out during the week after, you know, we have our audio shows on the Podbean app. And then we push it out to all the audio platforms. What we're trying to do, the patrons from Patreon page / On the Range podcast, they will actually have a live video show along with that exclusive to them. So that's something we're working out, and I think it's going to be great. One thing I wanted to touch on, though, we titled this particular show Kit and Gear. Some of the folks were looking for items for med kits. Some of the patrons were talking about that. And, you know, we thought we would, hey, let's talk some gear. We're going to have a vendor call with some new gear. Hopefully he will make it on. one of the things I think we can compartmentalize it a little bit is, for me, I have my training stuff, you know, all my kit that I take with me to train with, which if it's not almost the same, it mirrors what I, you know, carry every day or on duty, whatever. But there's a couple that don't, you know, you don't carry a pro timer around. The pro timer is probably one of the least discussed pieces of kit out there. You see some people doing it. To me, I think they don't talk enough about it. And we both use the pro timer. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Because I know you even use that in your self-eval. And then maybe we'll go into what we use it for on most of our classes.
Yeah. You know, so what the pro timer does is it gives a tangible. But where I kind of see that the pro timer's got, you know, it's a pro and con. If it's used, in my opinion, properly, it's a fantastic tool.
Yeah.
If it's used improperly, to me, I think it can have some catastrophic results. So here's a prime example. Everyone wants to get speed, 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 and I get it. However, do not sacrifice speed to sit there and throw away your fundamentals. So here's my prime example. Let's say I'm going to do draw from the holster, single shot off the pro timer. And I've got, you know, I've done my proper dry fire training. I'll be using the pro timer during that to kind of get my powers. And then obviously once you go to the range, you're going to use that there. Too many times guys are interested with the time. So if you sit there, you know, go off the timer, draw the, you know, draw your pistol out, take the shot or your rifle, whatever you're doing, boom, get your follow-up sight picture. Trust me, it will be there as far as what the time is. Now, something I do, because again, I'm big on making notes. If I can coincide video as well, so now I've got my phone in a place that, you know, it's watching me because I want to see what I'm doing. What I will do is use my pro timer in conjunction with that video. So now when I sit there, let's say draw the first shot. Okay, boom, fire the shot, follow up sight picture, cool. As I'm reholstering, holster the pistol, look at the timer. I can say what the time is, and then boom, you know, we've got it there, and that can give more data. For example, if I'm shooting on either paper, steel, whatever I'm doing, let's say I'm doing paper, you know, whatever the time is, A zone hit, boom. Now that's all recorded, so I can basically, when I'm watching my video, I can transcribe that information into my training notebook, so now I know where I'm sitting at.
Right.
Obviously, for some of you guys that have seen the Walter videos, you know, we didn't have the pro timer out that much there because with it being raining, now I'm trying to stick it in a bag and everything else because, again, it is a piece of electronic. You know, that's your one kind of con with that. But it has a nice belt clip, at least the pack pro timer I'm using. But it's just a very versatile piece of kit that you can gather a bunch of information on. So, you know, prime example, you look at the Warhawk self-eval. Depending whether you're doing the 12 or the 20 shot drill, you know, doesn't really matter. But the point being, you get whether you're going from the ready or from the draw, you know, obviously that draw to first shot time or from the ready first shot time, you're getting what your splits are on two separate targets. You're getting what's the time that you're indexing between those targets. You're getting a time on what your magazine change is. And then, oh, by the way, you're repeating all this stuff all over again. You know, you've got anywhere from 12 to 20 pieces of data that you can extrapolate and then go, okay, cool. Because everyone looks at their raw time. So here's just, let's throw out a hypothetical. Let's just say my raw time to shoot that was 20 seconds. And I go, wow, cool. I did it a second better than I did last time. But I look at my mag change, for example, and let's say my mag change is taking 10 seconds. But I don't think it's taking 10 seconds. Now I know, go, ooh, that's probably a skill I need to work on. Yeah. And everyone always goes, you know, what's the, you know, everyone wants to know times. And that's the whole beauty with the self-eval is it's just that. It's your self-eval. So it gives you a baseline where now you can sit there and go, okay, yes, here's my overall raw time. You know, watch the video. We'll talk about, hey, how I, you know, score hits, stuff like that, how the targets are set up. But then you sit there and go, what were my splits on this bigger one? What were my splits on the smaller one? What was actually my target index from one to the other? You know, what was my mag change? So now if we start breaking these things down, now versus just having a big hunk of data, i.e. the raw time, how can I take that raw time and start shaving, you know, tenths of a second? So just think about this, right? Just in the mere, you know, time standpoint, if I'm doing, let's just say the 12 round, you know, course of fire, Dude, if I shave a tenth of a second for everything that I'm doing, that's 1.2 seconds I've just improved. You know? Now, in some cases, is it going to be feasible for some things, for other things? I don't know. But I say that just so people can kind of grasp the concept of, you know, a tenth, that's not that much time, right? That could be a huge incremental improvement. And then you're dumping, you know, 1.2 seconds off that overall, you know, raw time. So just food for thought on that one.
That's the pro timer, like you said, it can be something that we battle against the social media thing, and then you see the guys striving after that under 1 second draw and all this other crap. You know, it doesn't even require a good hand grip or shot placement to complete that task. But anyway, there was a I saw a guy on there, or this weekend, you know, you can hear the guy saying, "Stand, you know, shooter stand by." Beep, goes off. My man draws, click, puts it back in this holster, resets. Shooter standby, but you see the inherent problem there. This is trick shooting, catastrophic. And they just went through, and he runs his course of fire, and blasts up and running through, and you know.
Well, but here's the thing that also tells me you don't have the presence of mind if you have a malfunction. You know,
No.
where's your slap rack in there?
Nothing.
And
Nothing.
now you're letting that timer control you because now you just basically quit the fight.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So.
Start over, redo. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. If there's anybody out there that wants to call in, that's on the show right now. If you want to, go ahead and call us in, and we'll take your questions. Anything you want to talk about? This audio show will be going out tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And then we have a couple of guests. Well, I take that back. We have one guest coming up this week, and I already put the link out for that. But that is going to be on Wednesday, and then we have a range week, so we'll probably have some behind the scenes stuff, and maybe we'll do a broadcast from the H Minus Lounge. And get that kicking off as well. So we've got a big week coming up. A lot of travel for you, pal. Appreciate you making the trek, but I think it's going to be a good week.
Yeah, no, you know, always is, and it's just again, you know, people are hungry and eager to get, you know, training in, and it's like, yeah, man.
So tell us about your speaking engagement, if you're allowed to, this past Friday, and tell us how that went. I know Jeremy W was able to make it. How'd that go?
Dude, it was fantastic. So, long story short, you know, got invited to come out for the inaugural Keep the Blaze Alive teaching squad, or not coaching squad.
Love that.
So between you know, Pat Mack and CJ, and you know, kind of gave me the floor a little bit to talk to some of the squad members, and just to, you know, discussed a bunch of stuff. And it was just a fantastic group of people because, again, it just wasn't men, you know, there were women there as well. And just, you know, I kind of gave them, you know, Rick's little pearls of wisdom that I think I'm going to save those because I think what we're going to do, just a show idea, is I think we're going to cover those kind of the topics I hit in depth a little more. So that'll give the benefit of everyone out there. I won't, you know, versus kind of doing a quick run, we'll focus on, I think, one of the topics for our Sunday chats, and then just deep dive in that a little bit. Again, I'll give people, if they're listening, a chance to dial in. If not, you know, no big deal. But again, just trying to, you know, help people out with just the different struggles. And, you know, here's the thing, man. Just so people understand, I am not this guy that has no issues, dramas. Trust me, I've got my own baggage and dramas of my own, you know, that I've got to deal with and everything else. And those guys saw a little bit, you know, of the, you know, a little bit of emotions popped out just because, hey, we're still dealing with that stuff. And I've got no shame telling people, you know, I'm still dealing with my buddy Joe and his whole death just because I kept it boxed up for so many years. So, you know, it kind of stuck its head out there. But to be honest with you, it couldn't have came at a better point because it just, you know, when you're raw like that, it just goes, yep, I'm human just like you guys. So, yeah, no, but it was overall just a great chance to speak, you know, to those guys. And like I said, you know, CJ, when he did his intro, you know, Rick's part of the family, and I'm telling you, I don't take that lighthearted. I mean, that is just huge. Whenever somebody refers to you as part of their family, to me, it's a big deal.
Yeah, what a great couple guys. And it looked like it was a lot of fun too. It looked like there were some social events after the training day and the speaking engagements. It looked great. A lot of good content that CJ was pumping out behind the scenes. So I know we want folks to join our Patreon page, but if you're not a member of of the University of Badassery with Pat Mack and CJ. Definitely need to check out that as well, man. What a great, great couple of guys and a lot of good content, a lot of good content coming out of that.
Yeah. The keep the Blaze Alive coaching squad.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Looks like Smith, Jeff Smith. He's a big part of the On the Range podcast SCIF group. Mm-hmm. He's in here. How's it going, Jeff? You know, another good piece of kit. A lot of times we talk about the EDC, you know, and everybody talks about guns, magazines, appendix carry, hip holster, you know, off body, all this stuff. We were talking about it the other day and you know, life-saving skills. If you're going to pick one thing, and we talked about it, if you're going to pick one thing, what's it going to be to carry when it comes to that type of thing? And it's got to be some kind of a tourniquet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just knowing how to use it properly, knowing where it's going to go and when it can't be used, you know, don't waste your time on something where it's not going to be beneficial either. Uh-huh. There's a lot of good programs out there. You know, we're going to do some training stuff on the Patreon page. That's why we encourage everybody to get out there and join the All Access page. But there's a lot of other programs out there you can do as well. You know, we want people to get some good training, and if they need to save somebody, themselves even. There's a lot of good programs. Our local university hospital here has a Stop the Bleed program. It's free. Mm-hmm. Come to your work, come to your school, wherever, your office. They'll come. You just got to make an arrangement. I don't think there's any donation. There's a grant that they operate under, and they do a really fine job. The level 3 trauma nurses come out and do it. And sometimes they'll have some fire department guys come out there as well, give you some ideas on training. And I think a lot of times they provide access at a to purchase some of the items that they're talking about. They have all the great training aids and they go through the whole deal. It's not a super long class, but man, what a bunch of good information from that program.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that because I had a guy hit me up looking for med training and I'm like, dude, that would be my first stop shop. You know, yes. it's a nationally recognized program. And the thing is, you're not trying to hunt somebody down. They're typically all over your local municipalities. You just got to go do a little bit of look. Whether it's done by your university, I think, American Red Cross does them as well. Don't quote me on it, but but there's gotta be somewhere out there that you can get, you know, some Stop the Bleed training in there.
So, hey Jeff, how's it going, bro? He says he's doing well. Hope everybody's enjoying their Sunday, but yeah, the Stop the Bleed, if, like you said, if you're just going to do one thing when it comes to stuff like that, that's an easy one. That's a no brainer. Mm-hmm. So, Jeremy said, just if you go stopthebleed.org, common spelling, one word. You can get some information on that. Jeremy happens to be a Stop the Bleed instructor. Keep up the good work, buddy. Keep up the good work. I think he's in the medical field anyway, if I'm not mistaken. So,
yep.
We got the range week this week coming up. Like you said, everybody's itching to get out there and do some training. We are actually adjusting our round counts, so it's not such a burden. We get it. We want people to hang on to their ammo. You don't know when it's going to come back to a reasonable price or when it's going to be available normally anymore. But at the same time, you do got to get out there. You do have to get some training in. But again, I know we harp on this all the time. You've got to do some type of dry fire regimen. You got to do something at home. It's going to pay off big time when you go to the range and you have an opportunity to shoot. And again, you can use the Pro Timer when you're not shooting. You know, we've talked about that as well, too. That's another great application for it. You can set a part-time in there and just kind of keep track of yourself. You've mentioned it before. You can video with your little magic box in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through all that stuff. There's a lot of good applications. I know there are some apps, Pro Timer apps on your phone. Never actually used one, but there's also the Coach's Eye.
Mm-hmm.
There's a free version. You can do a lot of things. Film yourself. You know, slow it down, back it up, take little screenshots, see where you like the start and finish points are, and do a little bit of analytics on what you're seeing in the video as well. You talk about that a lot.
Yeah, because I think it's a critical part because, you know, a common term we used to hear a lot was, hey, one eye doesn't lie. So it's
Roger
video
that
stuff. And then here's the beauty, too. Like, I've had people actually send me video clips. Granted, they get it the right angle. I can kind of see what's going on. But sometimes it's like, hey, shift a little over here, over there, you know, but it's a great tool to just incorporate throughout. And it's like, you have it anyway, why not use it? And you can break it down. And really, if you've got somebody else, they can sit there and check it out with you as well. Cool. Sometimes you pick it up, you know, you pick up stuff, sometimes you don't, but you'll probably figure out, hey, where's the placement of that camera? So if you, you know, if you think about it, if I'm doing draw from the holster stuff, and if I'm a right-handed guy, I'm probably going to have it off my right side so I can see that movement there. If I'm doing, you know, mag change type stuff, it's probably going to be off to the left because I want to see the mechanics of that mag change. So depending what skill set you're looking to do, you might have to move this camera. It's not like, hey, stick it in one spot and everything's good. And you'll start figuring out, hey, what angle do I need to put it at? You know, do I need to bring or pull a barrel over so it's kind of at this level, or, you know, what all works for you? But it's trial and error. So the more you're out there doing it, the more you'll figure it out.
Just get out there and try to put something together, write it down. We talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. A lot of these guys, when they show up, they just don't know their platform. They just aren't familiar enough with it. A lot of those things you don't want to have to worry about when you're on the range. You want to worry about some other stuff, right, that you can't do without actually sending one downrange. So looks like Jeff Smith may have a dog question. He's going to try to call in. So okay. Rick is the authorité on the canines. Looks like we got Jeff calling in. But yeah, you know, that at-home regiment, man, you got to have something established so you're doing it on a routine basis. So
yeah, and like I've always said, if you can just do even a start, right? So if you've never dry fired before, I got it. We all got crazy times. Man, if you just start with 5 minutes, three times a week, 5 minutes, a total of 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be huge. And then as time progresses, you know, if you can put more time to it, great. But dude, that would be absolute leaps and bounds to your total, you know, firearm skill.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Looks like we're going to have a caller. Jeff Smith is going to join the show. Jeff, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
The last
time I've been around, and last time I've been around that happiness was my first divorce.
Wow.
Hey, Rick, I have a question for you. We are looking at getting a Belgian. I know they're very high energy. I have a cousin who has got a couple who is trained in Indiana, so he's giving me all the warnings. The question is, at what point in time when you have one, I know the obedience is very important with this dog because he loves structure, but at what point in time do you start working with them on biting, like grabbing a hold of? I've seen different many items where you're tugging. We will want to go that step. We'll not do the training myself. We'll either use my cousin who has trained several. He used to be in his sheriff's department. He's trained several Belgians. So at what point would you do that? Because I do know it is – it's like any, a lot of other dogs, but this is a one not for everybody. I do understand that going into it.
So did you by any chance listen to the podcast I did with Mac and CJ, University of Badassery, Reference Dogs?
No, I did not, but I will go back and listen to it because Mark knows I've been listening to you guys ever since the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, brother, right? And again, I always ask people that's looking to get a bite dog, why? You know, so a lot of people go, well, you know, I'm looking for protection. I'm looking for this. Okay, cool. Those of us that's been in the dog world, typically, let's think about it. Civilians are probably going to maybe, and keyword being maybe, use this dog one time. The problem comes in, their first bite is not typically that strong. So you may not even get the results that you think you're looking for. And there's a whole protocol that goes into it, and we kind of lay it out quite a bit more. But again, it goes back to why. And then you've got to think that, you know, do you have the time? Do you have the consistency to work this guy? You know, are both you and your wife going to be on the same sheet? Then you got to think you got kids involved, you know. There's a whole just slew of stuff going on that kind of comes in there. So that would be kind of my first question to you. Because I would, you know, here's the thing. You can have them if you want as a pet, but I'd rather see somebody take more time, you know, to kind of work their hands because you're trying to get that intermediate. But again, sometimes they can just be used as just, hey, you've got one and he's a deterrent as well. So that's where we'd probably need to have a sidebar conversation. Or if you listen, I would say this, listen to that podcast that we did before. And then if you've got more questions kind of based off of that, because that may stir some things to cause you to think, then we can kind of address that more if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll send you the link to that show.
Okay, that would be awesome. Yeah, Rick, I really appreciate the heads up on that because, like I said, I was going to buy – my cousin had one for sale for a while. He was 4 years old. Bo, you know, had been trained constantly. And that's one thing he had told me is you have to dedicate time with this dog. It's not like you're training to be a guard dog and then now you do nothing with him. He has to be constantly, and he's going to want to do that because it becomes part of his ritual. It's almost like a, I hate to say it's a play, but it's a part that the dog has to know all the time what to do, when not to do it. And I know I've seen police dogs where they tell them to release, they will not release. And, you know, I wanted to make, and I don't even know if I'm even going to go that route, Rick. It's something I've thought, and primarily like everybody else says, it's more security. Mark knows that I work in the industry, and I'm going to be home here where I'm home every week, but where I'm gone 3 or 4 weeks out of a month. Mm-hmm. So where my wife would be the primary person with the dog all the time. So there is that issue, and I know it'd be something I would enjoy working with the dog. And even if we didn't even go that route, I just love the breed. I love the overall of the dog itself. I'm also a German Shepherd fan, but once I've seen the Belgian, looked into the Belgian, I understand why God created him. It's because the German Shepherd has to have a hero too.
Well, untrue, so, because at the top of the pinnacle, you totally missed the Dutch Shepherd. That's all right, you know.
But anyway, I want to say, guys, before I let you go, I love your show. I listen to it all the time. Martin knows I listen to it. I enjoy everything you guys got on Facebook. I've been trying to get Mark to get on Facebook for, 5 years now, Mark?
Yeah, yeah. Yep. You finally convinced me.
I said, dude, you're missing a opportunity. And I don't even do business on Facebook or anything. I do it for social car clubs and stuff like that. And I knew, you know, once you guys did it, and I shared you guys every chance I get an opportunity, because I think you have a lot of lessons to learn, you know, to learn from you guys.
Really appreciate it, brother. And thanks for all you do too, Jeff. I know the industry, that, you know, you're part of the big supply chain and you kept things rolling, man. Really appreciate everything you did. I know you were out there working through all this a lot of times nonstop. So thanks for everything you do. Good luck on your search for your dog and keep us updated. And you're always welcome to come back to the show. That's a great question, buddy.
It's an important one. And like I said, we probably need to circle back one of these days and just do that. But it's, like I said, the one I did with Mac and CJ, I think that will answer a lot of your questions. And then, you know, once you listen to that, just circle back and we can go from there.
Awesome, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Jeff. Be careful, pal.
Thanks, Mark.
Great call.
Awesome, man.
Great guy. Oh, yeah, man. You know what? And he brings up a good point about his question, and you bring up a good point. That's something we really haven't touched on this show. I can put the University of Badassery link in the show notes so everybody can check that out. But, you know, we do I think there's a lot of folks. Matter of fact, I've had several of our listeners come up and say, hey, yeah, man, I love dog stuff. You know, maybe we ought to have, it's not really my thing, but you're the expert on it, and everybody comes to you. It's a good thing because you do know what's going on. You've been in that world a long time and operated at the highest level. So, yeah, maybe we'll put together a show and get some dog talk in there. That was great. Thanks for calling in, Jeff. And I tell you what, guys, if you're listening to this on iHeart, Amazon, Alexa, Echo devices, Apple, Spotify, make sure you give us a comment. You want to hear a show about dogs? You want to hear a show about, go ahead and put it in the comments and give us a rating and interact with those pages. And let's bust up this algorithm. Let's work it, man, and get the reach up there. So great, great job on that.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. We did that with, you know, like I said, I think it was episode 18, because I've got the link. It's also on my YouTube as well. But yeah, dude, we covered all that stuff. And that's really the biggest thing people need to understand is, it's the why. Why do you want this animal? And trust me, I understand. You know, it's one thing to have years of handling a dog under your belt. So now, hey, you can read the dog, you know what he's going to do.
Right.
But now when you kind of get one of these things, my opinion is, you know, you kind of open yourself up potentially for a lot of liability, where I'm not saying you don't get a dog, but would it make more sense for me to maybe put that more time working my hands? So if I did have a situation where I've got something up close, I'm skilled in that aspect. So just, you know, is the dog always going to be with you? I mean, so it gives you potentially a false sense. And like I said, it goes back to most people are only probably going to have to use that dog one time. And unfortunately, their first bite is not usually that good. So you may not get even the results you're looking for, but if that's something you enjoy doing, you know, yeah, it can be a hobby.
Sure.
But you've got to have the time to put into that dog.
Great call, man. It looks like Clint might be logging in. All he's got to do is hit that call in button on the Podbean app and we'll get him in here. But yeah, we can shake a lot of these things out, just like you're shaking out your gear on the range, you know what I mean, and get it worked out. Looks like we're connected. We got CRH1869. Clint, can you hear us?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha, buddy.
Loud. Yeah, you're booming, buddy.
Sounds awesome.
Holy smokes, high-tech redneck.
Hey, that's the way we roll.
Yeah. Where are you at right now?
Oh, my God. Central Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a free state, right? That's one of them free states.
Well, we're working on it. Now, walking around here without my mask on, trying to scare everybody, but we're working on it.
Nice.
Oh, buddy. Well, I appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Oh, no sweat. I was telling Rick, I was talking to him a little while back, and still down here working on a military contract down here at Hood, and got about a month left down here, so I'll be scatting out of here fairly shortly.
Yeah. For everybody that we just had a guest join us, and that would be Clint Hoover from Alpha Group Solutions. He is a three-time attraction on the show. I think there's no one else even close, buddy. You've been on the show a lot.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm excelling at something.
Oh, man. Hey, we say that all the time. It's always great to have you on the show. Matter of fact, I think I had a power outage last time you was on the show, and worked through that. Yeah. Yeah. You took care of that.
That's right. I remember now. Yep.
Yeah. We just kept rolling.
Yeah. So how's things going with Alpha Group?
Oh, man, everything's good. I mean, I'm really enjoying that. It's kind of running a small e-commerce selling military and law enforcement gear. You know, I mean, I really thank you and Rick, you know, for helping out and help pushing it out. Something I kind of do is, I love keeping lots of irons in the fire. You know, I don't never have a single point failure, of course. So, having a small e-commerce that's working, doing military contracting on the side, and tell you the truth, I've been thinking about real hard trying to jump back into doing some, you know, a little low profile personal firearms training stuff again. You know, I kind of miss it. You know, I did that for about 3-4 years, really enjoyed it. Had a lot of people come out and shoot with me, and I really enjoyed it a lot and got away from it a little bit there. And now I'm starting to think of, you know, there's so many new firearms owners out there, and there's never been a time more that, you know, new firearms owners and, you know, firearms owners need to get out and work on that proficiency, you know. Yeah. Most important thing. I mean, one thing to have the firearms, but you got to get out and practice often. You know, it's a perishable skill.
Absolutely. So before we get any further, what is your information so we can get folks driving to your website? What is your website, and what is the easiest way to get a hold of you?
Well, if anybody's looking for me, or alphagroupsolution.com. Alpha Group Solutions without an S. So it's just solution.
Okay.
But you know, when I was back doing the firearms training, of course, when we get out there, people are often asking, you know, where did you get that holster? Where'd you get the belt? How do you set it up? Why do you set it up that way? You know, that's where I kind of got into, hey, I think I want to try to sell some of these products from these small startup veteran-owned businesses that I'm friends with, and really wanted to kind of help push their stuff out. But you know, it's a great little side thing to do in the firearms training is being able to provide those necessary items, and that's kind of how I got into that, was really doing the sales on the side. But I've been, you know, real successful, like this military thing that I'm on right now. Usually end up finding some business that way as well. So
good.
But I said, I like keeping a lot of irons in the fire, everything. Like you guys, I like to stay busy. I'm a little bit of a workaholic. So,
yeah. Well, we appreciate you calling in. Sorry we're short on time today, but we'll have to let you know when the next show is so you can call in and give us an update. All right, pal. Well, thanks again for calling in, Clint. We're going to have to wrap this up. We're running out of time, but be safe out there, pal. And I'm glad to hear that you're getting back in there and passing that information on and knowledge and experience, buddy. Thanks for joining us today, pal.
No sweat. I appreciate you having me come on in. And now that I know how to do it, I'll jump on the next one. We'll get a chance.
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
All right. Hey, be safe out there, buddy.
All right, man. Talk to you guys later.
Man, what a great guy he is. And we'll make sure we put that in the show notes. He's got a lot of good stuff. super supporter of the show. So,
yeah,
but again, you're in great show. Hey, thanks for joining me again today, Rick. And we'll do this again. Like I said, we got a heavy week this week, and we'll keep everybody posted on social media and when our next shows are. So,
absolutely, brother.
Unless you have anything else, buddy, like I said, we'll just kick it out to the Patreons again. Make sure you check out that Patreon page. It's patreon.com/ontherangepodcast. A lot of good training stuff out there. It's already on the page. So, all right, guys, have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you on the range.